ایمان را در خودتون تقویت بکنید، ایمانی که هم در اینجا شما را شرافتمند می کند و هم در پیشگاه حق آبرو دارید و با آبرومندی وارد می شید به تخت اعلی.
In the path of the Imam.
As a reminder, it was said that the founder of the Islamic Republic, the late Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, was forced to leave Turkey for Iraq. It was also said that after 1 month of staying in the holy city of Najaf, the Imam's family joined him except Ahmad, Imam Khomeini's youngest son. Today we're going to continue with our story. Please stay with us. Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, continued enlightening and awakening the Iranian people through secret liaison with ulama or religious scholars and young seminary students. He didn't give up, lay bare the betrayals of the despotic Pahlavi regime. His steadfast wife, Lady Khadija Saghafi, says, "Once we were in Karbala, the Imam was writing a statement. Mustafa asked, 'What are you writing?' The Imam replied, 'I wrote and sent it to Qom yesterday.' He wouldn't let anyone, even his eldest son Mustafa, be informed of writing statements. Not that Mustafa was a stranger, rather, he used to decide alone. We went to the yard. I asked, 'Were you writing a statement?' He laughed and said, 'What about it?' I said, 'I don't say that they will arrest you, but they will increase pressure on your friends in Iran.' He didn't say anything. I said, 'In my opinion, it is a time of private letters. First make the morale of those who are interested in these issues and then release official statements.' He just looked at me. I said, 'When they had taken you, I realized many things from the wives of the ulama and understood that they are not ready for such words. I understood that if they sometimes keep silent or express inclination, it is out of expediency.' He looked at me again and didn't say anything. When I was leaving, he said, 'What about people, the wives of grocers, masons, and seminary students?' I looked at him and kept silent. However, my words were not ineffective because during 15 years, the Imam's basic job was to have relation with the ulama, whom he knew that they were the men of struggle." Imam Khomeini's stay in the holy city of Najaf coincided with frosty relations between Iran and Iraq. Thus, many Iranians were expelled from Iraq in those days, and they were denied permission to enter Iraq. Under these tense conditions, many Iranian ulama or religious scholars in Iraq didn't intend to criticize the Iraqi regime. But Imam Khomeini expressly and bravely castigated the Iraqi president and protested at him via telegraph. His wife relates the account. As the Iran-Iraq relations were severed, Iranians were expelled from the country. Baathis expelled the Iranians living in Najaf, in Karbala, and in other Iraqi cities for years. It was heartrending. They would pour into the houses of people and plunder their belongings. The Imam strongly protested against these conditions and sent a telegraph to the Iraqi president, Hassan al-Bakr, whereby he had rebuked al-Bakr harshly. Imam Khomeini was the only scholar in the city of Najaf to protest. He called them worse than the Shah. Dear listeners, Imam Khomeini's wife accompanied him in all tough conditions and didn't accept to leave Iraq. Therefore, the Imam appreciated her efforts by calling her as the follower of the Prophet's wife, Lady Khadija, peace be upon her. During Imam Khomeini's exile in the city of Najaf, he and his family would go to Karbala on special occasions, such as Ashura Arba'in, the 40th day of Imam Hussein's martyrdom, or 13th of Rajab, or 15th of Sha'ban, the Eid al-Fitr, and the Eid al-Adha, or the Feast of Sacrifice. However, it was very interesting that while even ordinary seminary students would take cars from Najaf to Karbala, Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, as a great source of emulation, would never take a car and would always travel by bus. The Imam's wife recounts this. We used to go to Karbala nearly 6 times a year. The Imam and Mustafa would go together, but I and Mustafa's wife would go with children. We all would go by bus. One day, Mustafa's wife told me, "You come short that you do not take a car for us." I was very upset. The next trip, I was not satisfied with going to Karbala as children had been hurt a lot in the almost 60-degree temperatures of the summer. I related this story to say that the Imam would treat us so toughly, although as a source of emulation he had a huge amount of money. This was because he wanted not to transgress the framework which he had determined for himself. During his stay in the city of Najaf, Imam Khomeini was not allowed to enter Iran. In those days, his youngest son, Ahmad, got married and the Imam couldn't take part in the wedding ceremony and other ceremonies. Imam Khomeini wrote in his letter to Haj Ahmad, "Dear Ahmad, inshallah this marriage will be blessed for you and the respectable lady, and may you spend long years together with health and joy. Whenever I go to the shrine of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, I will pray for you. Inshallah, it will be answered." Then he wrote to his daughter-in-law, "I'm happy that Ahmad has married with a genuine and respectable family. Inshallah, God willing, you will be happy, blissful and successful with the blessing of your pure ancestors. Inshallah, God willing, this marriage will be happy, blessed and full of success and bliss of the world and the hereafter. Thank the Almighty, you have inherited the lofty merits of your great father, paternal ancestors and venerated mother and maternal ancestors. I hope that, inshallah, God willing, Ahmad will also enjoy these merits. I will not forget praying for you."